Do you know what it will entice you to clean? If your house smells like a beach afterward and it doesn't smell like, you know, cleaning products. Well, enter Clorox. They can transform your space into a tropical getaway by upgrading your cleaning routine with coconut-scented Clorox Scentiva. It smells like coconut, it cleans like Clorox, and it feels like inspiration. With a refreshing scent that will leave your home clean and fresh, elevating any room into an oasis. Now you can express your style and get shiny clean. Get Clorox Scentiva at a nearby retail store, also available in grapefruit or lavender scents.
This is the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous Podcast with iHeartRadio.
Welcome to a very special episode of the Almost Famous Podcast that will either get me fired or be a massive success. We want to start this out by saying thank you to Uber Eats for bringing us on an amazing boys trip to the Monterey Peninsula. Did I say that right? Wells, is that the right thing?
Yeah.
I'm here with Wells Adams and Andrew Firestone. Chris Harrison is playing golf with us as well out here. And it's going to be a great trip. Andrew, for those who do not know you,
yep,
can you explain who you are?
I am a very average golfer. Let's set that out there. I was on The Bachelor when you guys were in diapers. Years ago, I was in 2003. I was the third Bachelor to be on TV. Way back in the day.
The third Bachelor.
Third Bachelor.
What year was that?
2003.
Wait, I have a question because yep. I feel like it's different than it used to be.
Like, how so?
Well, because you'd go on The Bachelorette, and then the guy got his heart broken the most, a.k.a. Ben, gets to be The Bachelor.
Right.
But that didn't happen for you.
So that was a big difference. So when I was on The Bachelor, it was a surprise. So it was like nobody knew who I was. Like, you know, the girls didn't know who was going to be there when they opened up the limo door. And I was sequestered for weeks or a couple weeks ahead of time. And it was a total mystery. And that's a lot of pressure because all these girls are opening the door,
yeah.
And I'm like, oh God! What? I mean, I'm not looking at them; they're looking at me, right? Because they're like, they're like, oh! I could see some faces like, oh damn it! Like, oh, this is the guy. Like,
yeah.
Like they have a vision in their head who's going to be, and might not have been me.
Well, the hardest thing about that show is convincing the audience that it's justified for all of these beautiful women to all want this one guy.
Right.
And so it's got to be like the pressure's got to be ratcheted up because no one knows who you are. So then you're like, are you having to sell yourself being like, well, I have $1 million and I'm hung like
exactly
like a donkey.
Yes. I'm like, look at this.
Look at it.
No, but so, okay, I'll tell you, I mean, quite frankly, one thing that happened. So it was like the second rose ceremony. And even before it goes, one of the girls just said, like, you know, this isn't for me. And you know what her excuse was? The Tampa Bay Buccaneers were in the Super Bowl, and she wanted to go to the game. I swear to God, because I filmed in January of 2003. Look who's in the Super Bowl. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And literally, that was, she walked off. So you guys, or you, Ben, had it better because at least they knew who you were.
I still had people leave. Voluntarily within 3 weeks.
But that's on you though.
Yeah,
that
makes
you just
me feel
screwed
worse.
That up.
Uh-huh.
The Bachelor took it to the 2-yard line. You couldn't score. So, but it was a huge thing. And actually, Chris Harrison was one of the only people that I knew ahead of time on the show, and we spent some time together. And I could tell he was a little nervous that I was going to be the captain of this ship for this show. But this was so early on in reality TV. That it was such an experiment, and to see a guy and a girl kiss without a script on TV was like it was mind blowing.
Mm.
And the way I describe it all was, it's like back then it was like a little fender bender. If we're driving along, you see a fender bender, you'll stop and take a look. If you've seen 100 fender benders, it's not interesting anymore. Yeah. Back then, that was like a little fender bender. The show today is way more dramatic and has a lot more stuff going on. You guys' dates that you guys go on. I went bowling on one of my, I'm not joking. I went bowling on one of my dates. That's, you know, that was the budget back then.
Well, I want to pause here and say, speaking of kissing, you and Wells know each other from the past, and I don't know this story.
It's a weird preamble, by the way.
Hey, let's get to commercial break.
Yeah. Speaking of making out, we got to hear the story
of
herpes.
You two. Anyway.
Last night at dinner, I asked, hey, how do you two know each other? How are you familiar with each other? And you said, we're going to wait for the podcast tomorrow. So I've been waiting to ask this question. How do you two know each other? Because then we got a video this morning of Wells showing a picture of his
Okay, let me, I'll tell you.
So stuff's starting to make sense.
I met Wells and his beautiful bride-to-be a couple years ago at an event. We were there with Chris. And that was the first time that I thought that I had met him. And I was doing, and on the drive up, Chris picked me up and to drive up here to, yesterday. And I was asking about Wells, and I know you a bit, but he's like, yeah, he's from Carmel, and he's from up here. I'm like, oh my God, I must know him from back in the day. So Wells walks in. We're in the lobby, sitting down before dinner, and Wells walks up, and I'm starting to like kind of like ask him little probing questions, and he looked me dead in the eye, and he goes, do you remember Whitney Adams? And like my jaw on the floor, I'm like, well, yeah. I mean, like, how do you know Whitney Adams? And then my slow brain starts working. I'm like, Wells Adams, holy crap. I took his sister to a prom when I was a freshman in high school.
Was she older or younger?
No, she's the same age.
Okay, good.
But there is I have a photo to this day, and I wish I would have, I mean, I didn't know how to bring it. But at that point, I was like 5'4", and feathered hair, and I have my arms around her. You can't see this on radio, but like I'm doing the awkward, like trying to put my arm around her shoulder. And it's like I'm like cocked over to the side, and I also know your older brother Brett.
Yeah, so it's funny because when the first season of The Bachelor I ever watched was Andrew's season, because my family is like, we know him, we totally know him. And so I had heard the story, but I wasn't sure if it was true. So I asked Brett, and so we're from this area. We're from Carmel, but you're not from here. You're from...
No, I'm from Santa Barbara, but I was going to school up here.
But there's a high school here that you can... it's a boarding school, but it also has day students. So my brother was a day student, and Andrew was a boarder. And so the way that my brother tells the story is that when you have... you know, kids from out of town living in the high school, they take the day student older kids and team them up with the younger boarders to kind of show them the ropes and show them around and make them feel comfortable. So my brother, Brett, of whom you know, Ben, was his big brother at school.
Oh, I didn't know. Okay.
And so my sister needed a date to, I guess, prom or Sadie Hawkins or something. And so my brother was like, you need to go with my sister to this dance. Mm-hmm. And so I never knew if the story was true. So last night when we got together, I was like, I think you know, like, my family. I don't know if this is true, but, like, did you take my sister to prom? And
I thought he was like a punchline to a joke. Like, oh, did you take my sister to prom? But his older brother, he was a senior and I was a freshman, was so kind to me, and you know, he had to play the role of big brother to a freshman. But he was super kind to me, and he was also like one of the most popular guys in school. So I had kind of a free pass, you know, for a while. Like I was able to kind of hang out a little, bit. Not too much.
With my sister.
No.
Did you guys hang out after prom, Whitney and you?
Yeah, I mean, I a little bit here and there, but she went to a different school.
Okay,
she went to another school here in town. But that was the first dance I'd ever, like a first formal thing I'd ever gone to in my life. I got like a corsage and the whole nine yards, and I must have met you, cause I came to your house to pick her up, and we might have dinner there or something, but your family was so kind to me, and I was so awkward and so nervous, and the picture really speaks to that, about how awkward I actually, well, I still am a little bit, but was certainly back then.
I have a very naive question. So when you're boarding, when you're living out here, mm-hmm. your family's in Santa Barbara, you have a dance like this. Like when I had a dance like this, my mom, when I was in high school, would go out, help me pick out my tux, my suit, the flowers, walk me through the process, make sure everything was good. The girl would show up, or I'd go over there. My mom would be there. My dad would be there. The parents kind of like coach you into this dating world.
Mm-hmm.
When you're out here, Like, did you have to find a way and figure out a way to get all those yourself?
Yeah, it's a little, it's a, you kind of have to be fairly self-sufficient from a very young age. I mean, I was doing my laundry, you know, not that that's a crazy thing to do, but like, you're taking care of everything on your own. And whether that's, you know, your studies or just like normal everyday life, but a lot of the stuff you're kind of learning on the fly.
Yeah.
And luckily there are a lot of other older people there at the school that you can kind of look up to and ask questions to. But like, you know, they have to thumb a ride to go down and get a corsage.
Yeah.
The date to take Whitney, you know, like, yeah. there was like a bunch of things that you had to be a little bit, you had a little bit scheming to pull off.
That's super interesting. So
wait, it comes even more full circle.
Okay, please. Phil.
We can kind of put a pin in this after it. So, and I told you this the last time I was on your podcast when we were actually recording in Monterey.
Yeah.
Was the way that I got on The Bachelor was because my brother was actually approached by a casting director. Mm. So the fact that my brother was Andrew Firestone's big brother, who then became The Bachelor, was also, you know, hit up by a casting director to be on the show. He turned it down. Then I went on the show, I think is...
It's a trip.
It's... Yeah, it's pretty good.
That
weird.
School has some good-looking people in it, then.
Yeah!
I mean, you and Brett both, you know, you got it going on.
Wait, who's better looking?
That's a good question. I mean...
No, you're gonna answer it.
Brett was with me when I got a hold of
one. Don't just acknowledge it's a good question. I know it's a good question.
I think that you're better looking than him now, but I think he had you maybe like 10 years ago.
Totally, oh, no,
his model pictures are pretty great.
He was a model.
He had a great head of lettuce. I'm gonna tell you what. Like his hair flow was so good. I haven't seen him in 1,000 years, but back then, like, he was definitely a ladies man. He had so many girlfriends and cute girls were kind of always following him around. So I was like, dude, I want to do that.
I want to be that guy.
I want to be that guy.
Well, a little bit to explain why we're all out here. You know, and I waited to tell you this, Andrew, but when I first met you, it was at Jaden Tanner's wedding.
Yep.
Chris, who I really love, he kind of walked me. He was like my big brother. I felt like through this whole weird process, right? I mean, I said it many times. I was 25 years old. I had no clue what I was doing in this world. I still don't. But he kind of like put me under his wing and would take me around and introduce me to people. And one of the weirdest things for me was I always felt like, this is no BS towards you, like Andrew Firestone deserves to be the Bachelor, right? Like he's a stud. He gets it. I watch these guys in the past. Like they all understand more than I do. And I just kind of got thrown into it. Well, we go to Jaden Tanner's wedding and Chris says, hey, how about you come golf with Andrew and I? And so we do that. And I was really fresh. I think I was maybe still filming or just after filming when this wedding happened. And you were very kind, very funny, very much made me at ease. And I've told everybody that listens to this podcast many times, one of the only reasons I was able to do the show and have any type of enjoyment was because I saw guys do it before me and go, okay, if they can do it, I can do it too. Like, he doesn't like walk on water. He's a great dude, normal dude, a fun dude. And that's why, you know, it's great to get back out here, play Pebble Beach today. Yep. Again, thanks to Uber Eats for doing that. It's a big deal. And here's a funny Uber Eats story as I continue to tramp. So I fly in last night. I've been looking forward to this trip for a long time. I golf with Wells quite a bit. I haven't seen Chris in a while. I was really excited to get to hang out with you again, Andrew. And we're playing Pebble Beach. Come on. Like one deal. Of the best
That's
places in the
deal.
World.
Yeah. Yeah. And a beautiful day too. I mean, this is gorgeous.
And so I fly in last night from Denver and I'm standing at baggage claim. My bag doesn't come. And in this bag has my golf bag, my clubs, my shoes, all of my clothes for the weekend, all of my toiletries, everything possible. I packed it all into this travel golf bag and it doesn't come. Called the airline and they said, oh, your bag's still in LA. It's not going to get here until 11 o'clock the next day. So today. Still not here. So, as a result, thanks Uber Eats for making sure that I have my toiletries. Mm-hmm. I have all of the snacks I need, any of the food I need, any of the drink we need. Uber Eats really saved the day. So, this has been a great trip, not only come out here with you all, but to have them make sure that I am still functioning.
Did they organize the fact that your bag got lost? Maybe
that's
just
a great story, right?
Just to crush this whole thing and
just
like
to
make
save
it,
the day.
Yeah.
Yeah. The only thing that I didn't get delivered is my golf clubs, but I still believe they're going to be coming. Yeah. All right. So I want to start today talking a little bit about golf. We're not going to dive into it too much because I don't think anybody out here really cares. But there's a question that is haunting everybody here. Who is the best golfer in the group? Let's throw Chris into this. Mm-hmm. Who is the, in your opinion, yep. Who is the best golfer in this group?
Okay,
Andrew?
So I played golf yesterday with Chris, and he shot a 76. I don't think he wants anyone to know that because he has to post that score, which will screw up his handicap. But he was crushing the ball yesterday.
At, by the way, a very, very difficult golf course.
Really tough course.
Where'd you play?
MPC, Monterey Peninsula Country Club. And I can tell you how hard it was because I was there, I was playing, and it was a abject disaster. I mean, it was just a mess. Spraying balls left, right, and center. Chili dipping off the tee. It was a mess. Chris was puring it. I played with you also, Ben, years ago.
Yeah.
And you are a very good golfer, but it's been a while, so, you know, and you're also married, so usually that there's a decline in your skills.
No, not at all. He's playing golf a lot.
Oh. I've had a good year.
Oh, okay. Well, then maybe your marriage is falling apart. I don't know. But I haven't played with Wells here, but I hear that that he hits it very, very long. So it's going to be fun for me just to watch you guys play and compete, and I'll just be there. You know, having fun, eating snacks.
Yeah, that was a long diatribe to say I'm the worst.
I'm the worst. Okay, so I'll say it right now. I think Chris is the best golfer of the group right now.
That feels like a game. It feels like a game.
I want to see it. Okay. Prove me wrong, ladies. Come on.
The best is I believe that Chris is sitting on the side right now. Like, this is the one conversation today I want to join into. It's eating him up.
No. So,
any given
I
day.
Agree. But he's going to have a hard time because we just went on a trip, and 7 out of 10 times, Wills beats me at golf. I told you this last night. In Utah just a few weeks ago, I did beat Wills straight up. And so today is kind of like that to really figure out where we're at in our game.
To answer your question, I do think Chris is the best golfer of the group. He's the most consistent.
There's an argument
for it. He also... The thing that gets everybody in trouble in golf is nerves, and I think that he's able to regulate his nerves better than any of us four. Now, yes, I think that I can have days where I can beat everybody, but my vote is for Mr. Harrison.
I also will put the vote behind that, too, because I believe right now in his head he's like, wow, everybody believes I'm a good golfer, and he's going to get on that first tee today and shank it. Hey, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to come back, talk more about the trip, talk more about a story I have from my honeymoon that I've never shared on the podcast that you guys found really funny last night. That's a great tease. We'll be back. Thanks again for Uber Eats for setting up this amazing trip to the Monterey Peninsula.
What keeps baby skin healthy? A diaper that doesn't leave skin wet. That's why Pampers Swaddlers absorbs wetness better versus the leading value brand and provides up to 100% leak-proof skin protection to help keep your baby's skin dry and healthy. We have been a Pampers family since the start with Dawson. It takes you a few months of experimentation to figure out what really works, and for us, Pampers really works. Pampers Swaddlers are dermatologist approved by the Skin Health Alliance. They're hypoallergenic and they're free of parabens and latex. All that, so important. Try Swaddlers with the new Pampers Free and Gentle Wipes for healthy baby skin. For trusted protection, trust Pampers, the number one pediatrician recommended brand.
I shared a story last night at dinner, and everybody goes, you got to share this on the podcast. And I'm excited to. It's a hard one to explain. There's a lot of visuals to this that are necessary. I'm sure at this point people, you know, my mom and everybody else has turned off the podcast. Like, we don't know what we're getting into. Okay, so anyways, here's the story. I'm going to try to explain it the best I can. Jessica and I went to St. Bart's for our honeymoon. And the reason this story came up last night is because I'm a big fan of blue cheese stuffed olives. And I love them in a good martini. Not a dirty martini, just a straight up martini. And we land in St. Bart's at like 8 o'clock. We go right to our resort. It's a great resort in St. Bart's. But it's a French-speaking island, and late at night, you know, there's not a lot of staff around. There's just a few people in the restaurant, and we sit down. They're like, you have 30 minutes to order. I said, great. So all I want right now is a blue cheese stuffed olive martini. So I asked for it. The waiter, who did not speak English, because it is not an English-speaking island for the most part, there's a lot of them down there, goes, looks at me and goes, I have no clue what you're talking about. Like, pretty much just confusion. I don't know what a blue cheese stuffed olive is. And so I said, okay. And he goes, let me get somebody
Blue
else.
De fromage?
Yeah, the sommelier. And so as a result, and the sommelier walks up. I said, "Do you have any blue cheese stuffed olives?" And I make like a circle, like what I thought was like an olive with my hand. You know, like you put your index finger and your thumb together,
like an OK symbol,
like an OK symbol. And I take my other hand and I give my index finger and my middle finger, and I start like doing the sign where you're like you're pushing, stuffing. And the sommelier gets really confused. I don't know why. And walks away and says, "I'm going to get my manager." So I'm sitting there. I'm still going, "Do you have any blue cheese stuffed olives?" I'm saying it very slow, like they're going to understand it if I speak slower, which is a very terrible thing to do. And I'm still stuffing my fingers at the same time. The manager goes, "I need to get my like GM of the hotel." He comes out and he goes, "I hear we have a problem here." And he spoke English. I said, I don't know there's a problem. And my wife suddenly catches on.
Yeah.
And goes, "No, you have a big problem, Ben. You've literally just asked every single person that comes up here. You've just signaled to them if you're down, if you have anything stuffed. Like, do you have anything stuffed?" The GM finally goes, "Oh, we don't have any blue cheese stuffed olives, but we can make you a martini." That is the story. It's still today what Jessica does when like things get awkward. When I say something stupid, she just does the little stuffing sign.
And that makes it less awkward. Yeah. Wow.
Just to remind me of how weird I am.
Yeah, and also how the French do different hand signals for that.
Yeah.
Well, the Americans do this. This means this.
Oh, it's that means, international.
It means sex time.
I know what that. I mean, since a very young age, I think that's pretty explanatory.
Yeah, I hope the visual.
What I love about that is that there are waiters and sommeliers that thought that this 6'4" hunk of a man was like, "Hey, do you want to go in the back?"
And no, I just also, sat down. On the first night of your honeymoon, they were like, "Wow, look at that!
They are swingers, I guess."
This guy is.
I wish
someone
was like, "Absolutely, let's go."
I guarantee they all spoke perfect English. Like this can't be. You gotta check this out.
This guy's just over there.
This guy's nuts.
I was not stopping. Was not stopping at all. Andrew, question for you: do you ever use Uber Eats?
Yeah. So, you know, I have three kids, and you know, it is, you know, this isn't any sort of advertisement for it, but this is just a utilitarian thing that we use all the time. And you know, half the time we've forgotten something somewhere. We need a snack. Some of the kids are, you know, milk for one of the kids, whatever it is. And so it's actually super convenient in Santa Barbara to go in, you know, and have, you know, food delivered, you know, have whatever delivered. And it's really quick. So and I'm very slow to adopt technology. My wife was first using it. Now it's almost, it's funny, like these things now become like kind of part of your, like, just everyday life. Like, you know, it's so much more useful. It saves time. So, long way to say yes.
I wonder if you can get blue cheese stuffed olives. And
I guarantee it.
Uber Eats.
I almost can promise you that. I mean, think about the stuff that we ordered. In fact, it should be, it's probably coming there. I just saw Amy walk away. There's more coming today. I mean, we ordered everything for our trip.
We ordered some alcoholic seltzers. That's what I requested.
Got to be 21 or over to do that, but we all are over 21.
One thing I noticed that you put on your request list, which I didn't know about you, Benny. Do you like the same kind of potato chip I do? I don't eat a lot of potato chips.
Cheddar and sour cream.
Yes, which I think is a very particular style. I mean, not like a tortilla chip or like a Dorito. Like, this is something very specific. So,
cheddar and sour cream is the way to go.
It is. And a lot of times,
I'm a jalapeno boy. I like a jalapeno chip.
See, I don't like jalapeno. I don't like salt and vinegar.
I love salt and vinegar.
No, I can't do that.
You know, the one thing that was always told to me, I don't know if you agree with this, but I know people listening will understand. There's a new chip out there that LeBron has designed, which is a cheddar and sour cream chip with spice added to it. There's a spiciness to it. When you open up they taste fantastic. But when you open up the bag, it smells like feet.
Mm.
Have you ever gotten that?
See, no. So I can't have a bad smell.
Yeah.
Anywhere like feet. Around what I'm eating. No, not good.
It's always told me. Okay, we're going to talk a little Bachelor here and Bachelorette. Andrew, do you still watch the show?
Yes, I do, but it's funny. I mean, so I want to talk about something Bachelor, not directly answering your question, but it's funny how we're all sitting here together, and you kind of touched on it earlier. And there are literally hundreds and hundreds of people, men and women, that have gone through The Bachelor over the years. But it's funny how you can create a relationship with somebody and it makes that experience that much better and it lasts long, you know, like, and again, so Chris and I, you know, when I was sequestered for all that time beforehand And I was, you know, I didn't know anybody. I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know what the show was about. And Chris took me out to lunch with his then wife, Gwen, and their 2-year-old son at that point, Joshua. And so we go out to lunch and, like, you know, he's trying to, you know, kind of figure me out and I'm trying to figure him out. And I remember this moment when his son, Joshua, is pinging me with French fries and I'm trying to keep a straight face. And I've got nieces and nephews and I've got lots of little kids in my life. And I'm just like, I want to throw a French fry back at him, but I'm not going to. but there was like this genuineness about that experience. And a lot of the Bachelors, all, you know, it's TV and it's, you know, it's edited and all that kind of stuff. But there are so many real moments where you actually develop these relationships, mm-hmm. not just the men and the women, but like you find these friendships and it makes it not only tolerable, but enjoyable. And, yeah. It's not the fraternity or anything like that. It's just, you do develop these unique relationships that can last a lifetime. And I've had that with Chris for, God, it'll be 20 years that I was on the show next year. And we've remained great friends ever since. And, you know, I think we met 5 years ago when you were on the show.
Yeah, but it was.
And I didn't even know I met you damn near 30 years ago.
Yeah. He screwed my sister.
Not true. Not true. Not true. But it's funny how it's this, like, it is this group of people that somehow you kind of find a commonality in a friendship.
Well, you're exactly right, because, you know, Wells and I have been able to spend a lot more time this year together, along with Dean. Dean's around, but you never know where he's at in the world, typically. But I doubt Wells and I, other than like personal stuff that we're trying to figure out, have talked about The Bachelor ever. Like, I don't think it comes up. And that's when you know, like, you know, sometimes you get around the group of people and like that's still the thing that's discussed, or it's what are you doing next, or, you know, are you going on the next show? And when you get a real friendship, you start to enjoy the other person. And we've only met through this weird experience that now we can all share. And going back to what I said earlier, it was on that golf course that day with you that I said, okay, like, Andrew's a good dude. Like, he's not a weirdo that sold out for the fame of this. Like, he's just a good dude who thought it could be fun. I can do this too now, which is, I hope, is a huge compliment to you.
Well, I appreciate that.
All right, we can do this thing.
But also, I think you probably played golf with hundreds and hundreds of people that have a connection to The Bachelor or whatever else, and some people just kind of want to be near it. Somebody, you know, want to talk about it. But, like, you know, it's, I mean, how else would I know a guy from Indiana, or how would, you know, make this connection back with, you know, a person I... family, well, once knew from Carmel.
Yeah.
But no.
With a guy that I knew.
I did stuffed cheese olives with his sister one time.
Now I'm going to describe it as that from now on. Yeah. But
hey, Sarah. It's time.
Martini? No. We want some prison sex.
The Andrew, I think everybody here would be interested. Tell us more about this sequestering that you did. That wasn't a thing when I was The Bachelor. I got a phone call. I showed up to, in fact, the backstory to that is I went to Honduras for a wedding. I came back from Honduras with a parasite that I had through the whole time that people know about. I lost 30 pounds when I was a bachelor. But I flew into LA 3 days before we started, and everybody in the world knew I was the bachelor at that point, right? Yep. They knew where I was going to do. So you were hidden.
So, yeah. So nobody knew, obviously, that I was on it. It was a big kind of secret. And the whole reveal back then was that I was going to come out on Good Morning America, and it was going to say, this is the next Bachelor.
Yeah.
And so I had 100% anonymity going into it. But then, you know, afterwards, it was like, you know, all of a sudden the curtain had fallen. And it was a really weird thing, but there was all this secrecy about who I was or whatever else. But there was a moment on the show when one of our dates, we were ice skating, and Century Plaza, you know, in L.A., they have the ice skating rink down there part of the year, and there's this huge kind of viewing deck. And so there we were on a date, and me and this young lady were ice skating. And back then, you guys didn't have this, but, like, there was a hot tub on every episode. Like, every time, like, anything happened, like, you want to go in the hot tub. They had a hot tub in the middle of the skating rink. Hundreds of people are watching, all circling there. And I'm like, am I really going to get in a hot tub right now with, like, this kind of stranger on an ice rink with all these people watching? And it was this, again, it was this migration in a very short amount of time from being just a guy mm-hmm. to all of a sudden The Bachelor. And you know, it was Good Morning yeah. America, and it was Us Magazine, and like all this stuff. And it happened so quickly. And the only thing that saved me is that I never took it very seriously. I kind of laughed at myself the whole time. I never thought, oh, that's a bad picture, or, you know, like, you know, I don't like the way I look or what I said. I just laughed about it the whole time. All my friends did. But it was crazy.
Yeah. Do you still get recognized from the time on the show?
Yeah. I mean, you know, when I was on it, it was, you know, all this alternative TV stations and social media wasn't around. It was still network TV was still the thing. I mean, there was, I don't know, 25 to 30 million people watched every episode along the way. So it was out there. Then Us Magazine followed it very closely, and People Magazine, all the tabloids. And so it was a big part of people's lives for a while. And so, you know, definitely, like, you know, the younger generation, you know, doesn't recognize me, but people kind of in my demographic, mm-hmm. they kind of grew up with me, you know, a little bit. So yeah,
My aunt's favorite bachelor, probably still to this day.
Dude, your aunt has amazing taste.
Yeah, great woman.
Yeah.
You obviously have a friendship with Chris then. He was the host of the show back when you were The Bachelor.
Yep.
You're sitting in a hot tub in a skating rink with 100 people watching, in the back of your mind going, this guy convinced me to do this.
Yes, I do blame him for a lot of it. No, but he was like, and he's always been a confidant on the show throughout, like, you know, but I think more than ever, and I think he'd probably say the same thing, like, I spent a lot of time with him off the camera. Because I was in the mansion where they filmed most of it by myself, but he would be there a lot. We would hang out, and so, like, he was my only friend, like, literally, not just talking about The Bachelor, but, like, just, I mean, I was there for, I don't know, 8 weeks, 9 weeks, whatever it took to film. It was a lot longer back then. And, you know, he was my guy, like, he was my buddy. And I'm lucky to call him a friend since, you know, for all those years, and we're still very tight, and we got a chance to come up here and see you guys. We had a road trip for 3.5 hours driving up the coast. So it was
what an interesting, like, difference between your experience with Chris and, like, Ben and ours. Cause we obviously are also very close with Chris, but you did the show back when there wasn't a huge age discrepancy between the host and the lead of the show. Cause when I was on the show, it was very much that, like, he was a father figure. Right. And for you, it must've been more like a peer.
No, he was a buddy, and like, so we would talk off camera, like, wasn't that weird, or like, what do you think about this? She said that, like, what, you know, like, there was, it was a buddy thing. We're only a couple years apart in age, and so, and he was, you know, he had a young family, so, like, I wanted what he had, mm-hmm. right? Like, I was aspiring to have that, and I'm a diehard romantic, and, you know, and I went, when I did the show, it wasn't because I wanted to be on TV. I didn't see the show before. Mm-hmm. Like, I wanted that. I wanted the thing. I wanted the family. I wanted all that stuff. And maybe this is a way to make that happen. And so having Chris there, who was, again, had a young family, whatever else, like, I saw myself in him. Mm-hmm. So I took his advice very genuinely.
Yeah.
Because it had worked for him, you know, and he was sitting where I wanted to sit in a couple of years.
How did they find you then? You didn't explain that, did you?
No. So back, like, you could apply for it. I didn't apply for it. I literally got a phone call at my desk. And I think it was about the time that Joe Millionaire had come out. And so I think that the show kind of wanted a backstory. So the first two gentlemen that were on The Bachelor, you know, were, you know, just guys, just like, you know, like just Bachelor just like guys.
Me. Yeah. Just regular dudes.
And I think they wanted to have something that had a little backstory to it, had a little history where, you know, they didn't have someone that America already knew. But they wanted, I think they wanted somebody that America could know, or like, oh yeah, I know Firestone Tiger, you know, like, I know that story. And I think the winery had something to do with it as a backdrop for, you know, for a lot of the story. But
for people that don't know, it's your family has a winery in Southern California?
Yeah. So we're in the wine business. My brother's in the beer business, okay. 805 Beer. I'm sure a lot of people are familiar with it. But my family, you know, generations ago started Firestone Tires. Mm-hmm. And so Firestone's a pretty household type of a name. So I think that blended with what they were trying to get accomplished. And especially because if none of the girls knew who it was that they were going to see, maybe it was a little more familiar to have a name that was recognizable.
Yeah.
But now, you know, having, they know you before you were The Bachelor, the people followed your story. They fell in love with you for your personality and everything else. And the 25 bachelorettes that were going to show up also knew you kind of. Yeah. I mean, not to say they knew you 100%, but they knew enough of you to want to go and take that chance.
Yeah, to agree to it. Where were the ladies at then, the women at, when you were in the mansion? You were saying you lived in that mansion alone. It's a big house.
Yep.
Is it the same mansion that we used
today?
No,
this was one of the first, I mean, it's kind of this iconic, I don't even think it's there anymore. It was, you know, on the water in Malibu, and all the ladies were in a house about 15 miles away. Okay. Also in Malibu, but they
did
had their
Chris
own house.
Live with you?
No, he didn't live, but he was just there a lot, you know, because like he would go there and hang out and, you know, because they were doing whatever the production stuff was. But there was a lot of production stuff that was happening, but like they wouldn't interact with me. And like, I'm a very social person. Like, yeah. I'm like, I want to shoot hoops with somebody. Like, I want to do something. And they were very standoffish to me because I'm sure they were told to.
Yeah.
So it was a very odd couple of months that I was in this huge house by myself.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember when I went on the show, one of the first bit of directives that we got from an executive producer was, I know you want to talk to the camera guys and the sound people, but they are furniture.
Yep.
Do not interact with them. And I was like, well, I can't do that. Like, I'm going to have to talk to these people.
I got close to some, but like, it was funny through those, you know, those couple months that I was there, like they did sort of start to fall into the background, mm-hmm. you know, like eventually it did normalize a bit. And that's what people ask me most often is like, isn't that weird being filmed all the time? Oh, the first couple weeks it was bizarre,
mm-hmm.
but then eventually it just kind of became, it was just there. It was like white noise eventually.
Yeah.
The, this whole thing, has transformed in incredible ways. You are now married. You mentioned you have children.
Three kids, yep.
Three kids. Does your wife at all look back on this time? Has she ever seen it? Does she laugh at you or enjoy watching it?
Everybody laughs at me, just so we're clear.
Good.
No, it's funny. I mean, it has kind of faded into the background quite a bit, you know, and like, you know, I didn't do any Hollywood stuff afterwards. Like, I got back to my life. So it's a fun chapter that, like sitting in this couch right now with you guys, like all these memories are popping back up, and it's fun to reminisce about, but it's literally just one chapter in my life. So it's not a defining moment by any stretch, but it was a lot of fun.
Are you happy you did it, or do you regret it?
Absolutely. No, I don't regret any of it. And you know, it's so easy for people to say, oh, you know, I wish I wouldn't have said that, or they portrayed me wrong, or I wasn't like that. But like, if you're taking that that stuff seriously, like, there's something wrong. Like, that is literally, I mean, it's just a snippet of a portion of your life. And if you can't look back on a photo album, it's like Whitney and I, and like be able to laugh at yourself and be like, oh my God, I can't believe I was that awkward. I can't believe that I looked like whatever. You need to be able to take it with a grain of salt. And so answer, yes, I'm so happy I did it. Made great friends. Didn't work out the way that I thought it was going to, but I have no regrets whatsoever.
Did they say on your season, here for the right reasons?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah? Okay.
And I'll say, like, I was 100% there genuinely to see if this could work. Well, I didn't take a dime of money. I paid for the ring myself. Like,
really?
I didn't want any sniff that it was contrived. I wanted it to be an authentic experience. That was the only thing I could control. Mm-hmm. I couldn't control editing. I couldn't control the girls. I could just control myself and my attitude and perspective on what I was doing.
It's funny because, you know, that there for the right reasons thing gets brought up so often. and I think that maybe you are the only person who has ever been there for the right reason.
Yeah.
Well, because you come from this winery family, you know, you don't need to sell diarrhea tea on Instagram. Like, you know, there is no kind of bullshit with you. You actually went there and wanted to, and I didn't know about Neil Lane wasn't there. You bought your own ring.
Back then it was Harry Winston. But I mean, they were going to offer a ring, and I'm like, if I give this ring to this woman that I feel like I'm in love with, and I want to give this a real shot, I don't want there to be any sense of like, this is not genuine.
Yeah.
I don't want it to be like, well, I'm going to give you this ring to then give to her, then I'm going to take it back, or you're going to, whatever it is. I'm like, no, if I'm going to do this, it's going to be authentic. I might get my heart trampled.
Yeah.
But you know what? That's authentic. And I would learn more from that than faking it.
That was one thing I always appreciated about Jordan JoJo, was that Jordan went and bought another ring afterwards and then did it again, mm-hmm. like without cameras.
Well, I think it's necessary.
Yeah.
I mean, it is. Like, you come off that show and you're still dating.
Yeah.
And then there's that like moment where you decide, okay, is this really something or is it not? Mm-hmm. I agree. I think that was it's a good move, a good moment. And it's, you know, it shows that next chapter where that the show isn't kind of what like either brought you together or forced you together. It just helped you meet.
Yeah.
And life's beyond. Hey, we do have a big, big day ahead of us. I want to make sure to tell everybody out there to order with the Uber Eats app. They stocked us up. I mean, with everything for this trip, with chips, with tequila, with seltzers. We brought in, what else did you guys order? Waters.
Well, yeah, lots of waters to offset some of the tequila we're going to be drinking. So keep that in balance. But I mean, snacks, you know, energy bars, like the whole thing. I mean, if we're not totally jacked up all day on the course, like just peering at 350 yards off the
sea,
that's not Uber Eats' fault. That's our fault.
Yeah, so the Uber Eats app is the way to go. Again, thank you for bringing us all together, Uber Eats, to have this awesome trip, but also to showcase something that we all use in our lives. Now, as we close this whole thing out today and get ready for an amazing round, Wells, we do have to ask you. We are in May. There's a show that usually is filmed sometime this time of year, called Bachelor in Paradise.
Familiar.
Yeah. Are you going to be on Bachelor in Paradise? Can I ask that question to you? Are you going to be doing it? Where are you at with it? We haven't heard a thing.
Well, it was a weird thing because there was a bunch of talk that it wasn't going to happen. I don't know if you guys ever like talked about it your show.
Yeah, we talked about it a lot.
There was rumors that the show wasn't going to happen. And I thought that was really interesting because I do feel like it's a very successful show, one. And for a lot of people, it's everyone's favorite show. Yeah. So the idea of them, of us not doing it is kind of a silly clickbait story just in general. So I can say that this, of course, yes, the show is coming back. We're going to film it where we always film it. It's going to film during the same time that it always does. Will I be there? Probably.
Yeah.
Here's the thing that, like, I know that this sounds like very vague or cryptic, but this is what I've learned about Hollywood. Hollywood doesn't get their shit together until 17 minutes before something's supposed to start.
Yeah.
So you never really know what's going to happen. So I would say it's definitely happening and you're definitely probably going to see me there.
Definitely probably.
Definitely probably.
We're not getting a lot out of it.
65% of the time, it works every time.
Every time.
Are you, Andrew, any follow-up to that? Are you curious? Do you watch Paradise?
I do. I mean, it is a fascinating show.
Yeah.
A lot of bikinis, a lot of tequila. And those are like two of my favorite categories. Like if I was on Jeopardy and those were like, what is tequila? What are bikinis? Like that would be, those I would go for the Daily Double every time. I hope we see Wellesley on there. That's like one of the best parts.
Would Bachelor in Paradise wasn't around during your time. Would you go on Paradise?
You know, I'm 46 years old with three kids. Nobody wants that. Like if you want to kill a show, put me on it. On a dating show
Let's flash back, though.
Yeah.
You're the bachelor. It doesn't work out. No bachelor.
Wait, like, I don't work out? Oh, you mean it doesn't work out
for you.
I thought you meant like
you
physically.
Need to work out if you're going to go.
I think you're looking at my flabby arms.
you're the first lead ever to do one of those side shows.
Yep.
Would you have said yes? Does that feel like your cup of tea?
Probably not. I mean, I don't know. It would be tough just because... I would just get very cynical about the thing, but I do enjoy watching it, and the characters that have been on it before have been so compelling and so willing to kind of put themselves out there. So no,
I will say this. I think I can speak for everybody and say, Wells, we hope to see you
absolutely
on the beach. We hope to see you very often speaking on the beach.
Those flowered shirts.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
You just ridiculous look good. Shirts.
It fits you, man. You do a great job at it.
My olive skin down there in the Mexican summer sun.
we'll have to wait and wonder until the official announcement, if there is one, if you'll be there or not.
Yeah.
Okay. That works.
It's coming soon.
There we go.
Yeah.
That's all we needed to make sure there's a little peace of mind walking into the first tee today at Pebble Beach. Again, thanks to Uber Eats for bringing us all here. Gentlemen, this has been a pleasure. It's really great to be with you all. thank you for coming out here with the Almost Famous podcast, but also thanks to Uber Eats for bringing us together out here. We're going to have a great day at Pebble Beach. Mm-hmm. We've got to get to the range. I've got to make sure that my bag is on its way to the hotel, because that's really important to have golf clubs.
Yeah, to play golf.
To play golf.
Yeah.
So I want to see if we can get Uber Eats to actually come out in the fairway. I want to order something like while we're like walking down four, and like see if they can meet us at like the sixth tee box.
I have the Uber Eats app.
Okay.
We're gonna get on.
I want to see. I want to see like roasting Brody's. You know, like doing donuts, you know, on the way out there. I want to see.
Cross over through the yard, through the hedges, onto the course. I don't put it past them. They're that good. They're that good. Hey, follow my lead here, Andrew. Wells has been around for a bit. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll be back this next week with one of our regular episodes. Ashley will be there. Ashley's also having the producer here. She's also having like a girls' trip, right? That's coming up sometime soon?
In June.
In June. So that's going to be a very special episode. I imagine Ashley's very ready for a girls' trip. Like,
yeah, hers is like slightly different than this.
Yeah, a little more like Ashley-esque.
A little more spa, a little more girls.
Are we invited to that too? Or is this...
We'll talk about that later.
I don't hate a spa. It's funny because when this came up and they said, hey, what do you want to do? Immediately, I was kind of joking. I was like, I want to bring these guys to Pebble Beach and play golf. And Amy, who has been our producer forever, responded with, okay. And I was like, oh. Well,
son of a gun. You should have asked for more.
I don't always typically say that when you ask me things. Ben called Danielle and I the other day and said, can we do this? And he asked us something. We just literally said, no.
No. It's not going to work. Yeah, and I say, okay, well, that works. At least we asked, right?
You got to, you know what? All they can do is say no.
All they can do is say no. Hey,
you guys talk about Andrew's Argyle socks? Did you talk fashion? That's what the ladies want to hear about.
This is a podcast. They can't see us.
Yeah.
Well, I think I got a picture at some point because I thought we were getting best dressed awards.
I'm giving it to Andrew.
I'm getting like first, second, and third.
Andrew's wearing a light blue floral golf shirt, just tight enough. I'm just not going to lie. It's a perfect tightness. Blue pants, also just tight enough, looking stylish. Argyle socks.
Yep.
Wells is all in black.
He's like Johnny Cash over here.
Looking really good.
It's gonna be
like,
super hot.
A nice
there.
Black golf sweater, black pants. Ben, let me tell you, is wearing the exact same outfit he was wearing last night because he doesn't have any clothes or any underwear. The Uber Eats is getting the underwear.
Well, yeah, but that, just to be said, Uber Eats is here with my deodorant, my toothbrush.
I know.
My toothpaste.
I grabbed it all, dude.
Q-tips. It's here. Thanks to Uber Eats for making sure that I have everything I need. It just came in. This is a big day.
Although Ben does have a lovely cashmere sweater with a hood, which I did touch because it was so soft.
He also has kind of a weird smell. We need to get this guy. We need to get his fresh clothes in a shower.
There's a lot going on right now. There's a lot going on. But this day is about to turn to be incredible.
Yep.
Because I believe everything's going to show up. And I believe that once again, Chris Harrison shoots low round today. I believe Wells is in second. I believe I'm really close in third. I actually think Wells and I are going to go back and forth into the final hole. I believe Andrew just has a great time and makes it to the
18th. If I don't launch a club into the Pacific Ocean today, like that's a win. Like that's
a lot of pressure on today. There will be some games being played. I'm assuming there'll be some updates that you can follow. I'm hoping if I take Wells down today, it's not going to feel great because I do love the guy, but it's going to feel so good really deep inside my evil soul.
I mean, you like one of those blue cheese stuffed olives.
It's going to be really bad.
Well, I mean, I can't beat you. You invited all of us here, you know? So I feel like I got to take an L here.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, good for you. Hey, follow my lead here, Andrew. Thanks for listening to Almost Famous Podcast brought to you by Uber Eats. I've been Ben.
I've been Andrew. What do I do? Yeah. I've been Andrew?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I've been Andrew.
And I've been Ashley.
Later, guys.
Follow the Ben and Ashley I, Almost Famous Podcasts on iHeartRadio or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey, it's Ben.
And it's Ashley. And we want to let you know that choking is the fourth leading cause of accidental deaths.
LifeVac is the easiest, safest, and only non-invasive choking rescue device that can save the life of your loved one. Visit lifevac.net and enter promo code ALMOSTFAMOUS to save 20% and secure your home kit today. That's lifevac.net and enter promo code Almost Famous.